Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
See, it's always better with two people. Two little two-man game. We are continuing.
So two men drinking, it's better than drinking alone.
Which I do all the time. Dark rooms in the corners. Flashbacks.
That's another show, another conversation.
Would it be a bad endorsement if I said, when I drink alone, I only drink Labatt Blue? Would they like that or no?
I'm not sure. We're gonna have Kevin's gonna come by the studio next week. We'll have to ask him.
All right, I'll run some of these bad ad ideas by him. See how he likes them. So we're continuing now. Speaking of bright and sunny, we're looking ahead to the spring and trying to look at each position on the depth chart for Penn State and anticipate and think about what the storylines are, what we're watching for, who we want to see develop, where the holes are, and that kind of thing. We did defensive tackles earlier in the show. If you missed that, download the Keystone Sports app or check out KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can check out all these segments at both of those places. But we're looking at defensive ends now, too. So really getting a good full look at this defensive line. And it's an interesting group because, as we mentioned in the previous segment, you know, a dominant defensive line seems to be the number one most common winning attribute of these powerhouse football teams. Obviously, you got to get good quarterback play, and you got to be able to block people. You got to be able to make plays, but that being able to recruit special guys along the defensive line can make such a big difference for teams. And Penn State just hasn't quite made it there yet.
It really is a difference maker. You know, the obvious position is quarterback being the difference makers. What's interesting to me is the very best teams, Alabama and Clemson, both had really good quarterbacks. And guess what? They just brought in even better quarterbacks to replace them. But it's the defensive line, I think, is where they just have the studs. They have the guys who are difference makers. And that's where Penn State is still catching up. And I believe you could argue they're closer to getting there at defensive end than they are at defensive tackle.
I think they absolutely are. This is an interesting group of defensive ends because obviously you lose Sharif Miller. Torrence Brown came out of retirement. He moved on too. You end up needing a couple of these pieces to make a leap in the 2019 season. And there's three guys really I'm looking at, and it's going to be worth paying attention through winter workouts and through the early part of spring practice to see, you know, what's James Franklin, what's Dwight Gault, what are other people saying about Shaka Toney, Shane Simmons, Daniel Joseph are three guys to watch that have been in the program for long enough that have had moments for sure. Shane Simmons, I think injuries played a big part in him not making much of an impact last year. Shaka Toney had a burst or two. But can that burst or two translate into something more meaningful and more consistent from him, a deeper impact on Penn State's defense? Or is he just destined to be a role player? These are the types of questions that are going to shape the depth chart and figure out, are these defensive ends going to be good or are they going to be great? You have one anchor in Yetur Gross-Matos who, oh, by the way, there's a chance that 2019 is his last year too. And then how does the rest of the depth chart shape up? That's the big story.
Well, first of all, I would start by betting on this being the last year for him. I mean, he's got NFL written all over him. And I think the difference between our discussion about the tackles and the ends is there are more guys here that you could dream on. More depth, more guys that you could say, hey, this guy, we see glimpses of it. We could see him being a star. Shane Simmons, as you said, was slowed down a bit by injury, but that was a guy that we were really looking forward to having a breakthrough season last year. The guy that you didn't mention, how about Jason Oweh? That's a guy in very limited playing time. I think he stayed within his four games, right, to preserve his red shirt.
He did.
But were there not enough glimpses there that you felt like there's going to be times when it's, you know, third and long, pin your ears back and you know, he just says to Etor on the other side, I'll meet you at the quarterback. I could really picture that happening.
I don't know. I mean, looking back over James Franklin's time at Penn State, he is, when it comes to just freakish athletes that he's brought in, Jason Elway, he might be at the very top, just in terms of where they were as high school players. You know, obviously Saquon Barkley on a different planet by the time he left. But as a high school player, was he really in the same freak conversation as Jason Elway is? I don't think that he was. So Jason Elway running a 4.45 40. So we mentioned earlier, we didn't really get a chance to launch into testing numbers and that kind of thing. From Mark Brennan shared the photo of the most recent big board in the Penn State weight room. But for him to run a 4.45 40, you know, to put that into perspective, Saquon Barkley ran what, a 4.40 at the NFL Combine. Ran a 4.33 at Penn State. So if you're going to have a defensive end who's 240 pounds, who's running a 4.45, who is also very strong and very athletic, he's not a sprinter out there either. You knew that he had some developing to do, but at the end of the day, that kind of quick twitch and that kind of speed off the edge is very, very rare. And the reason I didn't mention him in that first group, you know, that first group will be in, what, their fourth years on campus? I think they'll all be redshirt juniors. Tony, Simmons, and Joseph, I think, will be redshirt juniors next year, right?
Right, yeah. So Simmons, definitely. Who were the other two?
Joseph and Shaka Tony.
Yes, Joseph and Shaka Tony. Yes, all of them. Yeah.
So they've been around long enough that we can have more clear expectations. With Jason Elway, boy, is he a guy that's unleashed in small doses? Is he so good this winter and this spring that you can't help but make him a featured part of your pass rush? It could be. It really kind of depends on, you know, as I mentioned, are these more veteran guys who maybe have a little leg up because of that experience? Are they able to hold him up?
And again, this is about the spring stories. That's going to be the storyline here to watch. And the difference at defensive end versus defensive tackle, you could see more guys. You're going to wonder, how do we cut this down to a four-man rotation, essentially? Whereas at defensive tackle, you were looking, how do we grow this to a four-man rotation? So that's what makes this better. And you're starting with the anchor on the one side. You've got a known, a given on one side, and so many possibilities for the other that I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see Shane Simmons healthy, raring to go, if he can't fulfill his promise. And then, like we've been talking about, Jason Elway, the younger guy who might just force his way into that rotation. I think this is an exciting position for Penn State. And it's also, and I had someone talk to me about what are we looking forward to next season with Penn State. Getting more four stars coming in, and that's a bit of a foreshadowing of a linebacker conversation especially, but we're also seeing it at defensive end, and we haven't mentioned Tar Burton, have we?
So with him, so I think what I would say is that there are guys who are going to get the job done with a little bit more power, let's say. And I think Daniel Joseph, I think Nick Tarburton will grow into that as well. There are going to be guys who get it done with just speed and quickness. Shaka Tony would be exhibit A there. I think Jason Elway is going to be able to get it done, but he's going to be more of a quickness guy then too. So they've got an interesting mix of different types of pass rushers, different types of players at defensive end. I think that's going to be important. What you lose in Sharif Miller is maybe your most complete as far as power, speed, pass rush. You know, he grew by leaps and bounds when it came to defending the run then too. So you lost probably your most complete all around defensive end. How do you make up for that? Are you going to be able to unleash these guys in certain particular roles? Because I don't know if any of these can really do what Sharif did last year. All those responsibilities.
And maybe not, but can't you just see, again, like we talked about earlier, third and long, this is who's going to be in the game.
Yeah.
Third and two, with that, if you have that solid four or even five man rotation among the defensive ends, if you're an offensive tackle and you have to look across at one guy who's going to beat you up and then the next guy's going to race around you, that makes for a very long day if you're on the offensive tackle side of this.
And oh, by the way, I think there are going to be times just like last year where Gross Matos moves inside on obvious passing downs, and you could have more speed on the field next year than you did this past year in that situation.
And that kills two birds because you're adding to the depth at defensive tackle.
And in a way, yeah.
And allowing more, you know, more of these guys that you're looking to see play in the defensive end rotation. But getting to the point of our spring line stories, this is, again, part of what makes that the blue-white game more interesting this year is – there are all these names here at defensive end. It'll be interesting to see if you kind of get a pecking order of where they stand. Who's going to be starting on that blue team? Who's going to be on the white team? And you, as we know, that kind of tells us where they stand, at least by at the end of the spring practice.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised by much of anything, but I think the conversation starts with Shane Simmons, and there's always shades of gray, right? With a starter who plays 85% of snaps is absolutely, you know, a starter who plays 28 or 32 snaps, you know, that's what happens whenever you have a tight rotation. I think that's what's going to happen at defensive end. One other thing I'm curious about along these lines, Adisa Isaac showed up in January. He showed up. He looked an awful lot like Etor Gross Matos as a high school player. Just strength and the ability to glide. Like, it doesn't look like he's moving quick, but he is moving quick. And just that knack to get in the backfield. What's his development look like? Because he's a guy who is very, very athletic and will grow into that defensive end body very well. I don't know that he's a factor in 2019, just like Jason Owe wasn't a factor in 2018, but I think he can be special down the road.
And it goes into that topic where we're talking about a high four-star guy who gets forgotten because we're talking about a couple of the five-star guys.
And that's where Penn State wants to be him recruiting, is where you're taking for granted all these good players. They're getting there. They're turning the roster over a lot, as we knew from the transfers. A lot of new guys will get some chances this year. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Jeff Brown is going to join us in just a moment to talk to Penn State hoops.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.